The holy God, having by a long and continual series of his afflictive disputations, in and by the present war with the heathen natives of this land, written and brought to pass bitter things against his own covenant people in this wilderness, yet so that we evidently discern that in the midst of his judgments he hath remembered mercy, having remembered his footstool in the days of his sore displeasure against us for our sins. With many singular intimations of his fatherly compassion and regard, reserving many of our towns from desolation
threatened
and attempted by the
enemy,
and giving us especially of late with many of our confederates many signal advantages against
them,
without such disadvantage to ourselves as formerly we have been sensible of. If it be the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, it certainly bespeaks our positive thankfulness with our
enemies
are in any measure disappointed or
destroyed,
and fearing the Lord should take notice under so many intimations of his returning mercy, we should be found an insensible people, as not standing before him with thanksgiving, as well as lading him with our complaints in the time of pressing afflictions. The council is thought to meet to appoint and set apart the 29th day of this instant June as a day of solemn thanksgiving and praise to
God
for such his goodness and favor, many particulars of which mercy might be instanced, but we doubt not those who are sensible of God's afflictions have been as diligent to espy him returning to us, and that the Lord may behold us as a people offering praise and thereby glorifying him. The council doth commend it to the respective ministers, elders, and people of this jurisdiction, solemnly and seriously to keep the same beseeching that, being persuaded by the mercies of God, we may all, even this whole people, offer up our bodies and souls as a living and acceptable service unto God by Jesus Christ.
Yeah, kill all the white man. Whoa, yeah, more, yeah, kill all the white man. The white man call himself civilized, 'cause he know how to take over. The white man come to pillage my village. He tell me I have to bend over. Oh yeah, more yeah, kill all the white man. Whoa, whoa, more yeah, oh yeah, more yeah, kill all the white man. No, I do not like the white man up in me. He rape all my people as he rape my country. Everything I love and cherish, he tried to take away. We will be rid of him, soon come the day. Oh yeah, more yeah, kill all the white man. Oh yeah, 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 more yeah, yeah, more yeah, oh yeah, kill all the white man.
God, I love that song. It's NoFX, Kill the White Man. This is episode number 5 of Antimeme. I'm going to be playing it solo this time. I do have a special announcement at the end of this episode and some special shouts in relation to that announcement. The topic for this episode is going to be on holidays, Thanksgiving in specific, because we just had that one come up, and other reasons. And also, I hope everybody celebrated Buy Nothing Day yesterday. I sure the fuck know that I did. I just hate going to stores on that day. I mean, it's not even something that I have to try to do for the cause. I don't want to go shopping anyway on Black Friday. Now, to explain the intro there, that was actually a speech given by somebody by the name of Edward Rawson. This is in 1676. This guy was the clerk of Charlestown, Massachusetts. It's speculated that Native Americans were not a part of that gathering because it was in recognition of the colonists' victory over the heathen natives, as they called them. But yeah, it was the first proclamation of Thanksgiving. So that's kind of weird, going along with what we know it as. And this episode is going to be one of the first of hopefully many episodes kind of in the theme of history. Correction. Okay, I got a few emails for this month, but I'm only going to read one just due to time constrictions. This is actually a negative email, and it's from Matt Generic. I'm going to probably interrupt a few parts of it with my take, just because it's kind of a long email. Okay, it goes, "Hey guys, just listened to the show, the one about corporate influence slash fashion, and had a few things to point out. It's a pretty good premise, but like Michael Moore's stuff, you don't do the research and it shows through. No matter how good a premise is, you can't step away from it and betray your message." Okay, my take, I totally agree. Conclusions should be backed up by the premise. I would say what part of our research didn't show through. Not that it didn't, but your email didn't point out where we failed in that respect. So please support your argument. It would actually help us out a bit. He then goes on to say, "First glaring issue, you're trying to make an underground statement on the most middle-class white boy Phoenix, Arizona medium. Podcast that will shake the consumer culture? Whatever. You guys, if anything, are furthering the most brand sheep label in the world, Apple." I would say that podcasting is nothing, well, on my site, it's nothing but an XML file using RSS feed technology. It's nothing new. I've looked at my logs, and the majority of the hits from the XML podcast are not using an iPod to access it. Actually, many of them are using Linux, even. There's other software that picks up RSS feeds than iPods. Sorry, maybe you should do your research. And the reason I did podcast RSS technology is just trying to reach a wider audience. Now, he goes on to say, "Other cases in point, when the main host laments Converse selling out and that they're no longer rebels, why did you associate a particular shoe company with rebellion more than another? Because they gave away enough shoes to people like John Cusack that he wore them and influenced you? Look it up," he says in parentheses. I would say that Black Spot shoes are possibly more rebellious because they have a more rebellious business model. I'm not really saying anything about the others. As far as Converse, Chuck, John Cusack, and Nike, I don't really care about them, don't value them, so I don't see how that's relevant. He goes on to say later, "The idea that companies can infect or control you with ideas slash memes is ludicrous. Again, it's the same contempt for the average person that Michael Moore shows his good ideas are not enough. Hey, I have a pretty good premise. Guess what? You're too dumb to get it. You're all sheep and can't think for yourselves, so I won't bother doing the research. One correct point you made is that people are complex, and this invalidates your other argument. People buy brand names for many reasons besides advertising. Read the book, The Death of Advertising and Rise of PR. Imagine for a moment we lived in a world with zero consumer products. You would still emulate people you wanted to emulate and or respect. Think about it. By all means, don't be a sheep, but know thyself." Good art of war stuff. Yeah, I agree. My take, I try not to treat listeners as sheep at all costs. In fact, I'm trying to do many episodes on logic even, a tool for capturing bullshit. And as far as the logic episodes go, I have taken a college course in logic. I have read several books on it, so I would say that I've done my research for that, along with Medicine Soup. And also, as far as the last episode, Evan, he has taken college courses in political science and government. So I guess you're just saying we haven't done enough research. So my insincerest apologies. Beyond that, shows are supposed to be informative. If I come off as condescending, you have my permission to kick my ass, seriously. If people want to emulate others, that's fine, but the corporation doesn't need to capitalize off that. They should advertise on how their product is good. Not using ad hominem. Now, as far as controlling people with memes being ludicrous, possibly, but I definitely think it has influence. If not, propaganda wouldn't really exist.
Also, he goes on to say, the guest revealing his strange new knowledge from the marketing study book was really, really scary. What was scary is that you seemed surprised. Did you guys actually not realize that stuff? Again, how old are you? Okay, actually, honestly, I'm always shocked and disgusted when I see a mindfuck. Doesn't have to be new to qualify for that general reaction. And do you really think age is relevant here? Well, I don't, but okay, I'll continue reading your email. Have you ever heard of soap operas? Back in the day, like the 40s and 50s, soap companies used to actually own the studios, production companies, everything. That's how they totally controlled the content and got housewives to buy their detergent. So what? Nobody falls for that anymore. That's why advertising is largely smart and quirky now instead of transparent. Watch some Budweiser commercials. They don't associate the beer with anything. They entertain with silly jokes. Okay, actually, right there, that is some good information. I forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me, and us. My ideal version, however, of a commercial is for them to advertise what is good about their product. You know, why we should buy their product, what their product does that is better than the others. I would say transparent product placement and non-sequitur advertising are both laughable in my mind, but I could be wrong. I should do more research, I guess. Then, okay, the email goes on to say, lastly, you guys really should take some classes or read some books and be more informed about corporate activity. You come off sounding like college kids, not creating needs for things, either physical items or services or ideas, cause those things not to be produced. Actually, I'm just trying to say that the needs for things should be genuine or realistic, not a manipulated purchase. Things would still get sold if they're sold by the honest reason why the product is good. Okay, email goes on to say, without your perceived need, nobody would listen to your podcast, would they? When actual physical things cease to be produced, people lose their jobs. Okay, people don't need my podcast, though people still listen. I won't lose my job if people don't listen because I'm not getting paid for this, so that's not relevant. Okay, he goes on to say, go to Google News and look up General Motors. That company is struggling to keep plant operations in this country to the point of losing billions of dollars. They just can't do it because the economics don't weigh out. What's better? To keep them in this country paying high wages until they're broke and retirees can't get their pensions, and all the 401k buyers with that in their fund take a bath and have to eat dog food when they retire. Or a couple thousand people losing their jobs. Those are really the options at this point. And people in my family face the quandary, not to mention without revenue, they can't develop more green cars, safer ones, etc. I would say appeal to emotion, and that doesn't appeal to me. Again, make a good product and advertise why it's good. Okay, and he goes on to say, are a couple executives greedy? Sure. How much of a difference do you think 10, 20, even 30 big-time executives make in a multi-billion dollar business? In short, do some homework, you guys. Get to work so this cast doesn't sound so much like freshmen doing Rage Against the Machine, who are also corporate sellout wusses, by the way. My response? Okay, I agree that Rage is a bunch of sellouts. You know, I'm not arguing with that. As far as us doing our homework, well, we try. If we misinformed, tell me what I said that wasn't fact. I'm not implying by that statement that everything I say is true, but you didn't really falsify any of my statements. You just made a statement for me to do more research and then didn't really back it up, or told me that I'm young or should take classes or read a book, you know, and then what you say after that doesn't falsify what I said in the last show. It would be much more useful to all of us if I was actually corrected, not insulted, without backing instead. I'm not trying to chew this guy out after all, but, you know, because he says he agrees with our premise, just seems to not agree with the delivery. It's his opinion, that's okay. I hope I researched this topic for this show enough. I'll include my sources as links on the details page. If I fucked up on the facts, correct the facts. I'll say the corrections on the next show. I would do the same for this constructive criticism here in this email, but I don't have any to list, you know, because there's none in this email. But either way, I hope I didn't piss this guy off too much and not want to listen to the show anymore. I mean, after all, I could lose my job and funding, all of it. Now that we're done with the emails, I'd like to talk a little bit about the holidays that we know. Go through a little bit of a list here, like Valentine's Day, Easter, 4th of July, birthdays, and Mother's Day and Father's Day. I kind of throw them in the same bag. Got Halloween, definitely got Christmas, and also Thanksgiving. Now, when I try to justify doing something or not, I go through a list of questions that I ask myself, one of which is, does it cost money? Next, you know, follow-up question, why does it cost money? Well, holidays definitely deserve that question. Now, for one, Valentine's Day, does it cost money? And it depends on how you want to celebrate it, but looking at the normal consumer way to do it, you buy gifts for your lover. You buy chocolates, you buy flowers, you buy some big fluffy bear. Then there's Easter. Typically, consumer side of that, candy, eggs, you color the eggs, and what's the meaning behind that? Well, if you look at what the meaning behind Easter is and the meaning behind painting a bunch of eggs and trying to look for them, they're not quite consistent. I'll go to the next, 4th of July. You know, actually, that one's not too bad. I mean, yeah, you do spend money on fireworks. You know, I'm actually kind of willing to do that because blowing shit up does come at a cost, and I think it is worth it. And I don't need 4th of July to celebrate that, but I'll kind of get into the timeliness of holidays kind of towards the end anyway. Then the birthday, Mother's Day, Father's Day thing. Well, that's pretty much you give gifts. That's what it's about. I mean, when you look at the meaning behind that, yeah, it's your day. Who cares? But yeah, the celebration is giving gifts, which does usually require money. Not always, but you know, I'll kind of get into that. But yeah, usually it requires money. Halloween, candy. Yeah, definitely candy, but also costumes. So yeah, there's big business in that. The way you celebrate it, yeah, you spend money. Christmas, holy fucking shit. Yeah, money, gifts, money, gifts, money, money, money. You spend so much goddamn money for that. And I'm not saying you as in the listeners. I'm saying most people. We're not most people. We're slightly enlightened. But, you know, people actually put themselves in debt during that season. They totally dig themselves in the hole and have all these credit card payments to pay throughout the year just so they can do it again the next year. And that's Christmas! Though there are authentic things about Christmas to celebrate. I'm just touching the money side of it. Towards the end of this episode, I will go through all the alternative ways to celebrate or assess holidays. Now, Thanksgiving? I don't know. Turkey? It's really not a lot of stuff you have to buy, so I guess Thanksgiving passes that test. But then there's the other test of bullshit! Yeah, the happy story we learned in elementary school, the little fairy tale, was a lie. Yeah, you know, I did some research. I found out that my education was flawed, and Thanksgiving's not the only thing. Holy crap! I was really pissed off when I actually went to the library and picked up some books on history. It's a lot different. What's actually out there is not what we learn in public school. And I mean, as far as heads up on the next kind of show I'd like to do with this, I'll probably touch on Edison, Tesla, and the electric chair and all the politics behind that, and what our education was about electricity, the light bulb, and all that stuff. I'm looking forward to that episode, and I've done a lot of research on that. But, you know, this show topic is about Thanksgiving, so I'll keep it to that. But before I go into the show topic, I'm gonna get into the commercial.
Come with me and you'll be vacations. $0. iPods and cameras. $0. Plane tickets. $0. Rewards that make you feel like a kid in a candy store. Priceless. For more rewards than you can imagine, there's the World MasterCard, the sweetest reward card there is.
Rip off. Yeah, why did they have to use that song for a commercial? I hate it when they choose a good song for a crappy commercial, especially a credit card commercial. Now, to analyze this commercial, what they're trying to say is they're trying to sell you on their benefits, saying that with this credit card you get the benefits of free vacation, free flights, free fuck you. You know, I don't want an iPod, but it's not really free usually with the credit card. The rewards are because you're using the credit card, and when you're using the credit card, you're paying interest, which means you're still paying them. And then the other thing that I'd point out is their reference to a kid at a candy store. You know, they want you to think that. It's the same reason that when you go to a casino that they give you these chips, you know, not tangible money. You don't look at it the same way, so you play with it like a toy. So a kid in a candy store, they're like telling you that when you got your credit card, treat it as you would as a kid in a candy store, so you spend a bunch of money on crap that you don't need. And it wasn't just them saying a kid in a candy store. They actually had a really subtle thing at the end. It actually took me a couple of listenings to actually catch it, but they have a really faint sound of kids laughing at the end. And I don't know why that really bugs me so much. It does kind of bug me, though. Maybe it's a subliminal thing that is the reason why I don't like it, just because subliminal things, to me, are manipulation, and I don't like manipulation, therefore I don't like that. But that is my analysis of another shitty commercial. Okay, now for the Thanksgiving issue, you know, the whole 1621 meeting looks like, from the research I did, it looks like it's more of like a political gathering where the white man was trying to negotiate the land there, and they did happen to have a feast. And the next year they actually didn't celebrate that whole Thanksgiving thing, it just happened to be a meeting that they had. On 1623, the pilgrims prayed for rain, and it rained that time, and they had another Thanksgiving Day. Governor Bradford proclaimed another day of Thanksgiving. And then in 1676, there was the Thanksgiving proclamation by that Ed Rawson guy, which I already read that at the beginning of the show. And then all the way up to 1777, all 13 colonies that were in existence at that time joined to celebrate. They also commemorated patriotic victory over British Saratoga, and this celebration was only like a one-time thing. Then in 1789, George Washington, he proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving, and actually people resisted the holiday, saying that only a few pilgrims had hardship. Later on, Thomas Jefferson publicly said he thought the idea was stupid. In 1863, the President Lincoln, he proclaimed the last Thursday of November as the national day of Thanksgiving, so it was up till 1863 when the Thanksgiving as we know it is what it is now. And then in 1839, President Franklin Roosevelt actually pushed Thanksgiving back a week to try to extend the Christmas shopping season. That only lasted 2 years. It actually got changed back in 1941 just because of the major public backlash, which, good for them, you know. Also, one other thing, for about 35 years now, there's a group of Native Americans that have been meeting every Thanksgiving at Coles Hill overlooking Plymouth Rock. They protest, actually, Thanksgiving, and, you know, a little bit of the history, too, about the history of the genocide of the Native Americans and everything, too. Now, as far as the Thanksgiving dinner, there's actually some speculation that wasn't quite accurate, either. Like, some stuff that they may not have eaten is, like, turkey, pumpkin pie, since flour supply was bad then, and pastries for the same reason. But, I mean, though there was wild turkey out there, it's not that it wasn't probable that they ate it, it just wasn't likely, because they ate a lot of other stuff instead. Stuff that they most likely didn't eat is milk, cider, potatoes, butter. The reason for potatoes, though, is they're considered poisonous by the European culture at that time still. and stuff that they did eat, which is still true, is like cornbread, fish, berries, watercress, lobster even, dried fruit, clams, venison, which is the more likely meat that they would have ate back then, and plums. So the whole food thing, like, you know, whole turkey day thing, isn't quite accurate. I mean, there was still a lot of stuff that they did eat, but it's not exactly how we do it now, which, you know, I can't really rag on that because traditions do change over time. So, I mean, still, to celebrate authentically because of 1621, well, if you want to do it exactly how they did it then there would be different food introduced to that. Another misconception about how we view a specific part of Thanksgiving, which is the pilgrims, is how they dressed, the whole fashion that they had. It actually wasn't the black and white clothing with the whole buckle thing as we learn in school. They did wear the black and white clothing, though it was typically only on Sundays. And the buckle thing, the buckles didn't really come into fashion until about the 17th century. Now, as far as what they actually did wear on a normal day-to-day basis, well, it's different for men and women, typically. But the women, they generally just dressed in red, green, brown, violet, blue, or gray. And the men typically wore, like, white, beige, black, green, and brown. Now, the email section ran a little bit longer than I expected for this show, so I'm not really able to talk about it as much as I'd like to, but I'm going to include my sources in the details, the research that I did, and if the information that I presented is inaccurate or wrong, maybe I do need to go back to school and read a book or something like that, but I'll gladly discuss any corrections that anybody may have. I'm definitely welcome to that. Okay, I said in the beginning of the show that I was going to explain some ways, alternative ways to celebrate different holidays. As far as Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and your birthday, I kind of group that into the same. You know, if you're going to show somebody you care about them, then you should probably show that all year round and not just on a certain day. And you don't have to buy them something to show that. As far as other holidays that have religious value, like Easter and Christmas and that kind of stuff, well, if you are of that religion, celebrate it for its authentic religious value. If you're not of that religion, there's not much of a point to celebrate the holiday. 4th of July, you know, actually that one, it seems that people do truly celebrate the meaning of it, or they have that in mind, you know, the independence of our country, whereas the fireworks representing all the gunfire, if I did my research correctly. I don't know. I could be wrong. But anyway, and as far as any other holiday, just try to support it authentically to what it's supposed to be celebrated for. Okay, the special shouts for this episode is going to be to Dual Parallel and Masa. And the reason for that is they participated in a new project that I just put up, and that is the Liberation Gallery. It's just a photo gallery of corporate liberation, of removing, defacing, or covering up corporate logos, taking the before and after picture of those things and putting them up on the gallery, which is on the site now. Dual Parallel, he put up a golf shirt that he liberated, and he also liberated a pair of Dockers. And Masa, he liberated his backpack, and he had some really good descriptions of how he did it, which is really elite. Then I put some pictures up of my liberating my car and Mountain Dew and a computer and all that stuff. But yeah, so I'm going to try to make it a thing for everybody that submits pictures to it. I'll go ahead and give them shouts. And also, one other thing, as far as commercials go, I go out and try to find commercials, but sometimes I don't find, you know, really, really good ones. If anybody has a good real commercial, not, you know, a fake spoof or anything like that, but if anybody can find a really good commercial that they think sucks, just give me a link to it and I might use it because, you know, that would help me out. Anyway, that should be the end of the show. So till next time, question everything, including tradition.